Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. In the scripture passages which you just heard, you heard recounted from the Psalms, passage after passage referring to God's faithfulness. In our gospel for today, Jesus is helping his people, his disciples, understand a little bit better what a response looks like from his people in response to God's faithfulness. So, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the man who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went out, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who'd received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And the man who'd received the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who'd received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For whoever has will be given more and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These are words of Jesus for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. Well, that gospel reading ends rather harshly. Apparently, Jesus wants to get the attention of his listeners. He really wants them to see what a faithful, good response is to the faithfulness of God. Generous, good God. But he's also warning. It's a strong and stern warning to those who are not faithful in response to God's faithfulness. I don't know where you find yourself in the parable, but I do know that God intends his parables for each of us. And it's my hope and my prayer that at the end of this day, when we leave and go into our week, that our response will be that which will evoke a response from our Master, in which he says of each of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for your generosity, for your faithfulness throughout the ages and into our age and into the future. Help us to be your faithful servants. Allow us by your Holy Spirit to truly be empowered to go and respond likewise to those first 2 servants and truly manage the talents, the gifts, the blessings you have brought into our lives in abundance, in ways that are pleasing to you and evoke your response. Well done, good and faithful servant. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the words that stick out for me in the gospel for today are, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. The word faithful seems to be key to our understanding of this particular passage of Scripture. To be faithful is, by definition, you can look it up, it means to be reliable, to be steadfast, to be unwavering. Those are definitions of faithful. So what does the Bible say about faithfulness? Well, we've heard what the Psalms have to say about God's faithfulness. We've heard what this passage has to say about faithfulness. As you take a look at an overall view of Scripture, there are four themes that emerge about faithfulness throughout the whole scheme of Scripture. And probably you've noticed that on the back of your prayer and action guide, there's a place for sermon notes. Now, it's not required. This is sort of a pass-fail kind of thing. So as you leave today, I'm not going to be checking your notes at the door. But if it's helpful for you to write down some of these are things I've discovered as I've looked through the Scriptures regarding faithfulness. So these four themes emerge when we focus on the theme of faithfulness. First of all, faithfulness is attributed as an attribute of God. Over and over and over again, as you heard in the Psalms and in many, many other places of Scripture, it talks about the faithfulness of God. The second context of faithfulness that the Scripture lifts up is that it's a characteristic of some people in response to God's faithfulness. The third thing of note about faithfulness is that it is also a characteristic that some other people lack in response to God's faithfulness. And the fourth thing that emerges as we study faithfulness throughout Scripture is that faithfulness is truly a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer for each and every one of us today is that the gift of the Holy Spirit of faithfulness will truly be a part of who we are. There are Scripture passages after Scripture passages after Scripture passages that illuminate these particular components of faithfulness. And rather than proof texting these four themes today, I'd rather just focus on what faithfulness means in the context of the gospel for today. If you want all of those other passages, we can have a conversation later. In fact, at 11 today in the sanctuary, we're going to be taking a look at some of those other passages. I've got a whole list of them. There are hundreds of passages. I'm glad to review them with you if you wish. But today we want to focus on Matthew 25. The master in our gospel for today, could that be God, do you suppose, when Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of heaven? Do you suppose, in referring to master, it's a reference to God? Well, the master entrusts, that's the language of Scripture, entrusts each servant with talents, right? Everyone gets a talent. And each one gets it according to his ability. Are you familiar with the hymn, "All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee"? It's referring to this passage of Scripture and many others. The ones in this Bible passage are commended by the master as good and faithful servants. They are commended because they have truly responded well. It reminds us of what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. And if they're Jesus' words, not mine or ours, then then maybe we should pay attention. Where do we fit in the parable? Where is our spot in the parable? And maybe we can ask it this way. Where's our spot in the parable coming into worship today? And where will our spot be in the parable leaving worship today? How do we fit the profile? Have you ever looked at our worldwide economy lately? Have you? Anybody who's been on a mission trip or who has served at Hesed House, as we have opportunity to do this week, or served at Rebuilding Together Aurora, or served in Feed My Starving Children, you know and have experienced segments of the worldwide economy, haven't you? Anybody who's served at Loaves and Fishes can answer that question rather quickly, can't you? And so I'm wondering today, who among us has served in those particular ways? And if you've not, why not? Why not? Or if you have not given generously in the offerings to support those ministries, why not? If we haven't done any of those things, then where do we fit in the parable that Jesus tells when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven? Did you notice the consequences to the unfaithful servant? I'm going to let you connect your own dots for your own life. Just recently, we were challenged regarding how we use our blessings, our talents, our gifts, those things that God has given us generously. Just recently, we were challenged to think about how we steward as servants those gifts, those blessings from God. And we were challenged to think about them in this way. If at this moment in time you're giving nothing, then consider giving something. If at this moment in time you're a casual giver, think about becoming a committed giver. If at this moment in your life you are scattered in your giving, think about being strategic in your giving. If at this point in time you are comfortable or feel better about just putting your talent in a hole in the ground, think about sacrificial. Moving from nothing to something, moving from casual to committed, moving from scattered to strategic, moving from comfortable to sacrificial are ways in which we can be like the servants in the gospel who were faithful. Have you ever thought about money as minted time and talents? Sometimes we hear people say, well, I really can't give much money, but I can give a lot of time. Good, to a point. God asks all of us, whatever we have received. You notice that the servants received talents in varying degrees. God only asks us to be faithful with what we have, not what we don't have. Jesus talks about this again and again and again. 20-some parables talk directly to this point about how to be servants of whom the master can say, well done, good and faithful servant. The Bible tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. It lifts up the faithfulness of God. Even in those moments when we are not faithful, God is always constant, always faithful. The Bible always addresses the subject of faithfulness by reminding us of God's faithfulness by saying that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us, no matter what you're going through. No matter what you're going through. And the Bible tells us time and time again that God equips us to share this message about God's faithfulness with others. The faithfulness of God chronicled in that wonderful hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. New mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So this past week, some of us went to an event where it was a PADS event. It's a homeless ministry that is very, very, very active in the Chicagoland community and really around the United States. And several of us heard a story told by Marcus Engel. It was a powerful and a profound story. I didn't realize at the time that our speaker was blind, although I could see he was wearing sunglasses, and that kind of confused me. And from my vantage point, I couldn't see his seeing eye dog, another really good clue. But I soon heard the story of Marcus Miller when he was a college student. When he was a college student, he and some friends had gone to a hockey game. And on their way home from that hockey game, they were going through the green light of an intersection when a vehicle coming from the other direction never slowed, never heeded the red light whatsoever, plowed right into them. It was a horrific accident. Marcus, riding shotgun in the front seat, was critically injured. They really didn't think he'd survive. His whole skull was a mass of fractured bones. In the process, he lost his eyesight. He would never, ever regain his eyesight. He told graphically about that event that happened in his life. He was in and out of consciousness. And one of the moments that he remembers from that as he drifted in and out of consciousness was that he was in excruciating pain. Unconsciousness was a friend. Unconsciousness was a gift, because every time he woke, he was in horrific, horrific pain. But every time he woke, he also noticed one other thing, and that was that someone was holding his hand. Even as he was aware that there were doctors working on him, someone was holding his hand. He could tell from the grip, it was a female hand. And every time he awoke, he heard these words, "Marcus, you have been in an accident. You're in the hospital. My name is Jennifer, and I am here. I'm here. I'm here," she said over and over again. He was not alone. He was not abandoned. Someone was right there, by his side, holding his hand, not letting go. In the midst of excruciating pain, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of utter darkness, over and over again, those words, "I'm here," gave him the comfort he needed. Throughout Scripture, we hear those words over and over again, as our loving, faithful God says to us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In other words, God is proclaiming, "I'm here." God proclaimed that to Joshua. God proclaimed that to Moses. God proclaimed that to Abraham. God even proclaimed that to Jesus as his son was in excruciating pain on the cross. "I'm here. I will never leave you or forsake you." God is here, right now, right here, with you, each and every one of you. John Dunsmore experienced that presence of God in his life. John, whom we prayed for last week in church right here, John has felt a calling for some time. to go and serve as a missionary. And recently, as he went to El Adante, Honduras, he felt a very, very strong call to go and serve. This past month, he's been an intern in Honduras. It's kind of a trial period of time. And all throughout that, John has told me and whoever else will listen, he's felt God's presence. He's felt God saying, I'm here. I'm calling you. And now John has received a call to go back and serve at least for another year, giving up everything here to go and serve because he believes God, who has said, I'm here, has called him to that place to serve. I'm guessing that right now God is saying of John, well done, good and faithful servant. Today is Veterans Day, and we observe that, and we recognize that, and we honor that. I want you to listen to this story, a Veterans Day story, in the context of what it means for God saying, I'm here, I am faithful.
Hi, my name's Lynn Holmes. I'm the president of Calvary Pictures. When this story came to us, I was really excited to tell the story of a chaplain. It's very personal for me. My oldest son, about 4 years old, he decided he was going to be a Marine when he grew up. Junior year, senior year of high school, he enlisted. During the time he enlisted, my wife of 26 years, his mother, developed cancer. And over those 2 years of her struggling with that, my son was getting more and more angry with God and more angry with the world. And 30 days after she passed away, he went into Paris Island boot camp. His first deployment was 7 months. It was constant stress. They averaged about 6 firefights a day. And a lot of Chris's kills were up close and personal. And this just kept getting tighter and tighter, and this knot kept getting tighter and tighter in his body and mind. And he got a 2-month break and came home. When he came home, I was at a conference for pastors in the Southeast. And about midnight, I get a phone call, and he just kind of lost it and said, Dad, I love you and I want to say goodbye. And I didn't quite know how to handle that. I was freaking out and crying out to God in prayer. And I remembered the American Red Cross had given me an emergency card, so I knew who to call and how to find out where he was. And I called that number, and they put me in touch with a chaplain. About 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm talking to a chaplain and I'm saying, I don't know what frame of mind my son is in. You've got to go find him. He went through the barracks and found my son. They talked for 2 hours and had prayer. And about 3:30 in the morning then, I get a call back from my son saying, hey, Dad, I'm sorry. I just needed to talk with somebody who understood what I'm going through. What our chaplains do is such an important ministry in bringing back wholeness and encouragement to our military. And this, to me, is a very personal story. This movie, Indivisible, there's a wonderful theme of hope for those who have grown discouraged or even have maybe lost their faith or questioned their faith. I believe this true story is so powerful, and I'm just very excited for what God's going to do through Indivisible.
I have not seen that movie yet, and I'm not necessarily promoting that movie since I haven't seen it, but I'm promoting this story. Are you aware that we have Lutheran chaplains who are doing that kind of work? Are you aware that when you're generous with your offerings, that those offerings go to support the work of our Lutheran chaplains in the military, among others? Are you aware that when we use our talents and don't hide them in the ground, that we support ministries like Hesed House, Rebuilding Together Aurora, Loaves and Fishes, Feed My Starving Children, and all those other ways in which we can share God's faithfulness, God's I'm here message with others? Are we aware that when we don't bury our talents, but rather use our gifts of time and treasure and all those things that God has blessed us with, that we truly, by God's grace, make a difference? God desires us to be good and faithful servants. God desires to be able to proclaim that of each and every one of us. God does not. God does not want to have to say of any of us, "You wicked, lazy servant." That's not God's heart. God's heart is that he wants all of us to come to that place in our lives where we realize that God is faithful. God is here. God's message is he will never leave us or forsake us, no matter what our situation in life. And God has blessed us so that we will be a blessing. God desires with all his heart to be able to proclaim of each and every one of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Yes, he who promised is faithful. I'm going to call an audible on the hymn of the day, the hymn response hymn, I should say, that we're going to sing. Instead of singing the ones listed in your bulletin, we're going to sing the song that's listed on the screen. It's that song that I quoted early. It's about "Great is thy faithfulness." A song of praise to God for God's faithfulness and a reminder that God desires for each of us to be his good and faithful servants. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, we pray this day that your Holy Spirit would come into our hearts and lives so that even as we acknowledge your faithfulness, that you would move us, you would stir us, you'd enable us to be your faithful servants so that you can say of each and every one of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.